Hello and welcome to this reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. As it is Remembrance Sunday, we're going to spend the first few moments thinking about and praying for those who have been affected by war. And we're not going to have a 2 minute silence because I'm aware that people will watch this at different times, but we are just going to spend a few moments in prayer. So let's just take this time. They shall not grow old, as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. We will remember them. Almighty God, Prince of Peace, Lord of this whole world, we pray to you and ask for your peace to flood the earth. We remember those that you have gathered from the storm of war into the peace of your presence. Lord, may we know that peace. May you calm our fears, bring justice to all peoples, and establish harmony among the nations. Lord, for all those who have been affected by war, through death, through bereavement, through injury, through sickness, through loss of livelihoods, homes, safety. Lord, we pray for your comfort and your support. May your peace come. Lord, at this time we really do need your peace. When war is flaring all over the globe, where tensions are high and life is difficult. Jesus, Prince of Peace, come. Come and reign over your people, over your earth. Amen. So yes, it is a real thing for us to be praying about at the moment, for peace, for God's intervention, especially as there is so much tension, so much war, so much violence in the world right now. So I do encourage you to keep praying. So we continue with our usual reflection, and this week we're continuing in our journey through Paul's letter to the Colossians, and we're getting towards the end. We've almost made it through, not quite, but we're almost there. And in this section of the letter, Paul focuses his attention on the mission that we have been given through Christ. The mission to pass the message on, to proclaim the mystery of Christ. And Paul is keen to encourage the Colossians that they have been given this message just as much as Paul has. The mission to pass the gospel on is not just for preachers, evangelists, and travelling speakers. It is for us all. God calls us to speak out his message as we live our lives devoted to him. In this short section of the letter, Paul gives us a lot of useful things to help us as we carry out our mission from God. So prepare yourselves as we look at what Paul has to say to us today about the mission we have received from Christ. So I'm going to start by reading Colossians 4, verses 2 to 6. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. So, to begin with, Paul once again reminds the Colossians about the importance of prayer, this time focusing on its importance in mission, because mission starts with and is sustained by prayer. He tells them to devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. This idea of devoting oneself to prayer is not to suggest that we give up our daily lives and go to live in a monastery or nunnery. Instead, Paul is telling us to have a posture of prayer, a posture of that is our lives pointed towards God. It's the constant awareness of God in every moment of our lives, knowing that he is always present with us. He is all-powerful and all-loving and is working at all times. Paul is reminding his readers that prayer is powerful. It's not just a to-do list that we give God to complete, nor is it just us talking pointlessly to the ceiling. When we pray in God's will, submitting ourselves to him, he works powerfully, which is why we need to be watchful and thankful with our prayers. Paul tells us to be watchful in prayer because he knows how easily we can miss the opportunities that God lays before us. He instructs the Colossians, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. In order to follow God in mission, we need to pray firstly that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ. And then secondly, we need to stay watchful so that we see when that door is opened and make the most of that opportunity. As well as being watchful, we also need to be thankful. It's likely that the fastest way we limit God's blessing is to be ungrateful and not praise God and thank him for all he has done. Why would God want to keep pouring out his blessing on someone who didn't recognise them, refused to use them for the right purpose, and doesn't thank God for what he has given? God continues to pour out his blessings on someone once they have proven that they used the first gifts he gave them. I'm reminded of the parable of the talents in Matthew 25, verses 14 to 30, in which Jesus tells a story of servants being given gold to invest while their master is away. Most of the servants invest it wisely, gaining more gold, but one servant buries the money. When the master comes back, he asks the servants what they did with his money, and the master praises the one who used the gold wisely, but he rebukes the servant who buried his money. His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant! So you knew that I harvested where I had not sown, and gathered where I had not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has been given more, they will have. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." We can be thankful to God with our words and praises, but we are also thankful by using the gifts he gives us as he intends. How do you show your gratitude to God for the gifts he has given you? Do you praise him with your lips only, or do you demonstrate your thankfulness through your actions? Secondly, Paul reminds us that mission is a communal activity. God has called us to be his body, to be a community of people that build each other up, guide each other, teach and admonish each other, and work together for his kingdom. We are not called to be lone wolves going off into the distance with no support or community. Even when we are in situations where we have to be physically on our own, we can still support and be supported by others. Paul asks the Colossians, "And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains." Paul is in a situation where he is isolated away from most of the believers, as he says, "I am in chains." But he recognises the absolute importance of community, and he asks them to uphold him in prayer so that the message that belongs to us all, the message of Christ, may be shared. Paul includes the Colossians in the work he is doing, despite the fact that he's never even met them. Paul builds community with people he has never met because Christ has made them all one body. We are one body in Christ, and so we should be praying for one another and supporting each other in whatever way we can, whether that's practically, through prayer, through encouragement, through mentoring, through listening to each other, and so on and so on. We can all be involved in each other's mission fields, even if we are not there in person. Mission is a communal activity. The third thing to be noted from this section about mission is that mission often intersects with our pain. Paul was in chains in prison and could have easily chosen to bemoan his situation. When he asked for prayer, he didn't ask the Colossians to pray for his release from prison. Instead, Paul asked them to pray that a door may be opened so that he could preach the gospel. Paul, at one of the worst times in his life, used that as a way to reach people that wouldn't have otherwise been reached. God will often call us to use our painful circumstances for his glory. Our moments of pain and crisis often put us in unique circumstances which allow us to speak with people that we would not otherwise have contact with. I certainly experienced this, for example, when I had to go into hospital for my joint condition. I met people that I wouldn't have met before, and I was able to speak to them about my faith and how it has given me comfort and strength through my pain. Our pain also often gives us a perspective into things in the world that other people are able to connect with. People resonate with your pain long before they resonate with your truth. When you are open and vulnerable with people about the pain you are going through, people will open up themselves. They'll be willing to listen to your story, which will include how your faith helps you during your times of pain. Sharing the gospel through your experience of pain builds a bridge to their pain. However, if you're about to begin your conversation with someone with justifications and explanations of why the gospel is truth, people are more likely to go on the defensive and build a barrier between you. So when you share your faith with others, will you build a bridge or will you build a barrier? Paul also warns us that we need to be wise in the way we act towards outsiders. Mission should be conducted with wisdom. We are called to act as living witnesses to the wonder, majesty, love, justice, and mercy of God. And so our actions reflect our obedience to him. When we look back in history, we can see so many times where mission has been used as an excuse to colonize, control, or suppress people. Mission has been used as an excuse for human power and greed, but this is not what Jesus taught us. This is not what the apostles demonstrated with word and deed. When we share the gospel with someone, we should be acting out of love and compassion for the other person. Unlike what has been demonstrated throughout history, the gospel should never be proclaimed or accompanied by violence. If God wanted the gospel to be expressed through force, he would have sent a military commander to come and overthrow the powers of the day. Instead, he sent Jesus, who chose to be brutally tortured and murdered so that he could take our punishment and welcome us into the kingdom of heaven. So when we communicate the gospel to people who do not know God, we need to do it in a manner fitting of Jesus. A manner which is led by the Spirit, who is wisdom. Allow the Spirit to direct your actions and behaviour. Allow him to show you how to witness to the message of the gospel through the way you live your life with wisdom. And then finally, Paul tells us that we should be cautious with our conversations so that they are always full of grace, seasoned with salt. It can be so easy for us to speak at people when we are trying to share the truth of the gospel. But Paul warns us to be full of grace when we speak to people. I like the Message translation of verse 6, as it says, "Be gracious in your speech. The goal is to bring out the best in others in a conversation, not put them down, not cut them out." Our conversations about faith should seek to encourage, restore, and be peaceable to the other person. Yes, we should try to challenge and inspire people, but to do it in a way that honours them as a beloved creation of our God and King. I remember a conversation I had with an atheist who was trying to convince me that God didn't exist. And many of his arguments focused on putting me and my faith down rather than proving his own viewpoints. I remember feeling frustrated, defensive and angry, so much so that I could no longer listen to him and had to walk away. Remembering that experience reminds me to be full of grace towards others when I speak with someone about faith, as I've experienced what it's like to talk with someone lacking in grace. Our conversations should be full of grace and seasoned with salt. When we make a meal, we add a small sprinkling of salt to our food. Because it is so strong and powerful, there only needs to be a little salt for it to influence the taste of the entire dish. We know about the dangers too much salt can cause for our health. Ultimately, if we eat too much salt, it can kill us. And I think sometimes the same can be said for the way we communicate the gospel. I think sometimes we think if we just throw lots of truth about the gospel at people, we can prove Christianity is true and they will have to believe in it. But generally speaking, people don't tend to react well to this kind of evangelism, as they immediately feel defensive and threatened. In fact, it could even diminish or kill that spark of interest that someone might have in the gospel. However, if we allow the truth of the gospel to be sprinkled through our grace-filled conversations, it's much more effective. God's truth is powerful, potent. We don't need to add to his truth or overemphasize it for it to work. If we allow his truth to season our conversations, people will be able to taste and see that the Lord is good. All of these instructions and suggestions from Paul help us so that we may know how to answer everyone. When we think of evangelism and mission, we often think, oh no, I can't do that. But when we realise that what it really means is that we are devoted to prayer for opportunities for ourselves and others, that we make the most of every opportunity, and that we listen to God as he uses us, we understand that it isn't as scary as we make it out to be. Proclaiming the mystery of Christ is a mission that Christ has given to all of us. The question is, do you accept this mission?